The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So from time to time, I like to talk about practicing in our daily activities, in our daily lives, off the cushion. So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight and also probably next week. You know, we talk a lot about how to meditate, you know, what to do when you sit down and meditate. We close our eyes and we don't talk as much about how to actually engage with our minds, with our bodies, in the midst of our days, in the midst of our activities. And this is really important, I think, because, you know, we sit down, we close our eyes, sometimes we can we can find that things can settle down and we can be pretty calm when we close our eyes, but then we get out into the world and we start talking to our bosses and our partners, and it's like, where does that calm go? How do we meet our experience and actually connect with some sense of being aware and understanding how our minds are working? So daily life is where we meet our minds, our patterns, our stress, our suffering. How we engage in our lives produces this sense of conflict often with what's happening. So sitting meditation is a valuable tool for us. It does calm us down and gives us a sense and understanding of the capacity we have to actually let go and relax. But it often doesn't translate that well into daily life. And we talk a lot about, well, you know, be mindful in daily life, but we don't actually say how to do that. So I'd like to talk about that some this evening. I've done a lot of this work and have come up with some of my own tools for working with this. So first, the first thing to just recognize is that in sitting meditation, you know, there's a lot of supports to help keep us mindful. And then you even recognize, you know, you sit in meditation, how much does your mind wander off? You know, it wanders off a lot, at least, you know, mine wanders off quite a bit. So we have a lot of support in our sitting meditation. We're sitting with our eyes closed. That helps us to remember that we're meditating. We're sitting in a still posture, sometimes a little bit stylized. That helps us to remember. We wake up into some argument or, you know, storm of our mind, and we recognize, oh, I'm sitting here with my eyes closed. I'm not actually having an argument with my friend. So that helps us to remember, oh, pay attention, what's going on. So we have the stillness of our body, we have the sitting posture, we have our eyes closed. Sometimes we connect with a particular object, like the breathing, a particular experience. That also helps. Sometimes with the sitting meditation, if we're connected with a particular experience, we notice that we've wandered off because we wake up realizing, oh, I haven't been paying attention to that experience. And so that helps us also. So in our daily lives and going about our day, all of those supports are gone. It's no wonder it's so difficult. That's part of why it's so difficult. Another part of why it's so difficult is that we're engaging with the content of our lives in our daily lives. When we're sitting in meditation, one of the main instructions often is let go of the content, let go of your thoughts. You know, thoughts aren't so important in the meditation, so let go and come back to the experience, with the lived experience in the body and in the mind. That in our daily lives, we have to engage with content. And that's, I think, a big piece, a big place where we lose touch of with our mindful attention. So there's a couple of things that I like to suggest. I mean, the main piece, the main actual tool that I use currently in my daily life is simply the recognizing when mindfulness has returned. Now that can be clear for some of you. I mean, some of you may know what I mean by that. I pointed to that in the meditation when I said that when the mind wanders and you wake up, notice what you have woken up into. The moment when we return from being lost, that moment of returning from being lost, that's a moment of mindfulness, that's a moment of awareness. And that's a really important, in daily life practice, that's a really important moment to get familiar with. It happens a lot, only we don't recognize it. What typically happens with that moment is we wake up into something, and we wake up into the content of it, and we leap on the horse and go riding off on that content. So we wake up into awareness in our daily lives when we're, you know, walking across the street or, you know, reaching for a glass or doing whatever, but we wake up into something. We wake up into some kind of content, often thoughts in our mind. And then we, having become aware of that, we then think the content is important and we take off on it. So getting familiar with what it feels like to come back into mindfulness in our daily lives is a really important part of daily life practice. Because if we can begin to notice that, if we can begin to recognize, oh, here I am, I'm back, then we have some choice with what to do with our minds. If we're not really acknowledging or recognizing, oh, I'm here, I'm present, when we're present, we actually have some choice with what we pay attention to, with how we engage with our bodies and our minds. If we're running on autopilot, we don't have much choice at all. Actually, our choices are being made for us by our habits and patterns. So this moment of waking up, this moment of remembering, this moment of recognizing, oh, mindfulness has returned, is the place where we can get a little toehold into what's going on for us in our daily lives. So it's a really important moment. But it's not so easy necessarily to begin to recognize that. What does it feel like? I mean, at this point, it's pretty clear to me what it feels like to wake up, and that's what I use. It wakes me up to wake up. I see the mind coming back into awareness, and it's like, wow, it's like the light turns on. So it's pretty clear. But initially, it wasn't so clear. What does it mean for the mindfulness to return? And it often is such a fleeting moment that mindfulness returns. As I said, we leap onto whatever it is we've become aware of, and then we lose our mindfulness. We're back into our habits and patterns of ways of reacting to what we have become aware of. So I like to suggest one little tool, a trick for helping you to learn what it means to recognize the waking up. And it's pretty simple, but it's pretty powerful too. Pick something that happens regularly through your day. Say, you know, happens 3 or 4 times an hour for you. It might be something like standing up or reaching for things or going through doorways. Just something that you know that you do regularly throughout the bulk of your day, let's say. You know, if you're on the computer, it might be clicking send for an email. You know, that's something that a lot of us spend a lot of our times in front of computers. So that can become something that we kind of try to highlight to recognize. So pick something that happens regularly throughout your day. And then see if you can resolve. Make a kind of an intention to try to remember to wake up when that activity happens. Now, what's going to happen when you try this is that you're not going to remember. You're not going to remember maybe for a long time. And at some point, you will remember, oh, I was going to be mindful when I stood up, And I've been standing up all day long and I haven't remembered once. So that moment, when you remember that you've forgotten, that moment is a moment that mindfulness is coming to you, that mindfulness has returned. It's just like the moment in sitting meditation when you remember, oh, I was paying attention to my breath, and I'm not paying attention to my breath. Here I am. Can I come back to my breath? Well, in this case, we can't necessarily, you know, maybe we're making our bed at night, you know, to go to bed, and we remember, oh, I forgot. All day long, I forgot. So that moment when you remember, that moment, that first moment, the very first time you remember after having said, well, I'm going to try this. I hope that some of you go home tonight and say, I'm going to try this and pick something. That's why I'm talking about it. I hope that you'll try this. So at some point, maybe tomorrow, you'll remember, oh, I said I was going to try that, and I've forgotten. All this time, I've forgotten. That moment, that first time that you remember it, doesn't mean that you failed. That's actually when this practice can begin. So in that moment, the first time that you remember, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just recognize. Well, first of all, recognize, oh, okay, mindfulness. Mindfulness has come back. Just see if you can get a sense of what it's like for you. You have become aware in that moment. Just get a sense of that. What's obvious to you in this moment? This is another key, I think, with daily life mindfulness practice. I think a lot of us like pick it up like a burden. It's like, we think that adding mindfulness to our day will somehow be heavy or it will be too much effort. That, you know, how can I do that? I'm already doing so much. How can I add mindfulness to my day? How can I be aware of what's going on for me? Well, another key to our daily life practice is to keep the mindfulness really light. So that when you wake up into your experience like that, you remember, oh, I said I was going to be paying attention to standing up. In that moment when you've remembered, just take in whatever's obvious in a light way, using a light touch. So it's not like, oh, mindful, I need to be mindful. It's just, oh, I'm standing here making my bed. It's just whatever's obvious. What are you naturally aware of as your mindfulness comes back? Your mindfulness may stay for a little while, it may not. I generally suggest that people not try to hold on to mindfulness because it will then become a project, it will become heavy, it will become too much, and we'll let it go. If it can just be this really light touch, it doesn't have to feel like it weighs very much. So it can just be, oh, here I am, and here's what's obvious in this moment. And then continue with whatever you're doing. You know, just continue your day, continue your activities. Not necessarily trying to hold tightly to the mindfulness. So this, and the other piece to do when you remember this first time, is each time you remember, you've forgotten. It's really helpful to restate to yourself the intention, I'm just going to keep trying to do this. I did this the first time I tried this. I was switching between DOS and Windows on my computer, and the first time I remembered, I was going to bed at night. But I did just decide, okay, you know, I'm not hopeless. I said to myself, okay, I'm just going to keep trying. You know, I didn't remember, but I'm just going to keep trying. Every time I remembered, and what started to happen, and what I've seen happen when I've suggested this practice for others, is that as I just kept reminding myself when I remembered that I'd forgotten, I'm just going to keep trying and take in what is mindfulness like in that moment, and I'm just going to keep trying, that the moments of remembering I'd forgotten got more frequent. Maybe still didn't have anything to do with standing up or whatever. I mean, for me, switching between DOS and Windows, I mean, it'd be like, oh, it's lunchtime. Oh, right, I forgot. or I'd be leaving the building. Oh, right, I forgot. But I was remembering more. There were more moments of mindfulness actually being acknowledged. So this process begins to, what this does essentially is it gives us a reference point, kind of like the breath is a reference point in our sitting meditation. With the sitting meditation, we recognize, oh, I'm not paying attention to the breathing, come back. This basically gives you a little bit of a reference point to recognize, wow, I've been lost for hours, and here I am now. So it gives us something to kind of reference our mindfulness against. And this is not to beat yourself up about it when you realize how little you're remembering. It's to celebrate the moments that you do remember. Begin to get a sense of what it's like to come back into mindfulness. Just begin to explore what that feels like. Continuing the unfolding of this this particular practice of picking something that happens regularly through your day, what I found happening is that it got more frequent, this remembering that I'd forgotten, and then at some point I was noticing that the remembering that I'd forgotten was actually getting closer to the thing that I said I would remember. It would be like 2 minutes after I had switched between DOS and Windows. Oh, wow, it happened about 2 minutes ago. So I started having more of those moments when it was closer to the experience. And then at some point, it happened right as I was doing it. As that begins to happen, then that experience, whatever it is you picked, standing up, walking through doorways, can begin to become like a mindfulness bell for you, so that it will trigger mindfulness when you engage in that activity. So this begins to run a little thread of mindfulness through your day to do this kind of activity. It begins to run a thread of mindfulness through your day, and it begins to give you a sense of what it means, what it feels like to come back into mindfulness. So this recognizing of mindfulness, part of the reason that's so important is, as I said, it happens to us a lot, but we just kind of leap onto what it is that we've noticed. When we get familiar with what it feels like, then those moments of coming back into mindfulness begin to actually point themselves out to us. We begin to see just how much we come back into awareness through our day. It's actually quite amazing how frequently these moments of knowing what's happening while it's happening come up for us during our day. We just don't particularly notice them most of the time. So as we get attuned to what it's like to come into mindfulness through this exercise, these moments begin to point themselves out to us, which weaves an even deeper thread of mindfulness through our day. So getting familiar with this moment of remembering, that's actually, I mean, that can, I think, be helpful in working with this kind of a practice to recognize that that's a part of this practice. It's not particularly so much about what you've chosen. It's more about the that learning what it means to wake up moment by moment. What does that feel like? What does that feel like? Just right now, do you know what does it feel like to be aware? It doesn't have to weigh very much. So do you feel it right now? Can you be aware of the sensations of your hands? Can you be aware of the sensations of your butt? Of your lips touching? How much effort does it take? You know, it doesn't actually take that much effort to just be aware in this simple way. So that's one of the tools that I like to suggest for people working in daily life. Then another one that I like to suggest is to pick something that you do that takes a little bit longer. You know, loading the dishwasher, unloading the dishwasher, washing dishes, brushing your teeth, making your bed, doing your whole kind of ablutions in the morning, showering, etc., whatever. You can pick something that takes like anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes and see if you can use that as a meditative time. Now, that will be a time in your day that you use as meditation, as just seeing, can I be aware of what's happening here? Can I know what's going on in my mind and my body? Just meeting my experience. So this one helps to give you a little bit of a sense of what it means to sustain that mindfulness with normal activities. You know that, again, in our sitting meditation, we're not doing much. So when we start to engage in activities, it's often in the activity that we start to think about what we're doing and make opinions and judgments about it, and then our minds get lost again. We go off into our habitual way of being, often thinking about what we like, what we don't like, what we would rather have, what we'd rather be doing, creating this kind of place of dissatisfaction with whatever's happening. And so the recognition, being able to start recognizing what the mind is doing, gives us a little bit of an inroad into, you know, seeing how the mind does this. Our minds do this to ourselves, creating this sense of dissatisfaction. And we can just rest in what is actually happening right now. What are we actually doing? So this gives us a little bit of a place to play with, can we begin to bring mindfulness in an activity, in a longer activity, playing with, can we be aware while we're doing something, intentionally engaging in something, tuning into the body, is there tension, is there ease? One other thing that I like to offer for this particular kind of activity is, you know, again, what we're doing here is we're engaging with our lives and trying to be aware of what's happening. So we're not trying to let go of the content completely here. You know, we're washing the dishes, we're thinking about what we're doing, we're perhaps thinking about what we're going to be doing next. So to not necessarily say, oh, you know, I can't be thinking while I'm engaging in this, but how do I be attentive to my experience, the felt sense of my experience, what's happening in my body and mind, and know what I'm doing. So there's this kind of engagement with the content of what we're doing and with the experience of what we're doing. My Burmese teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, talks about having a kind of a 50-50 mindfulness, 50% of the attention in what we're doing, 50% of the attention in how we're experiencing what we're doing. So that the mind can do this kind of shared attention. We can keep track of what's going on for us and be aware at the same time. So these are just some kind of training wheels, these two practices. These are just to get you kind of at the beginning familiar with what is it like to bring mindfulness into my life, into my activities, into just what's happening for me, into the content of my life. Where I found these tools support me and really begin to bear fruit in our daily lives is when we can start observing and getting to know the habits that our minds get stuck in. We all have our own familiar habits and patterns that we over and over again find ourselves repeating. It's like we repeat a loop. Oh yeah, there's that loop. I get angry all the time. Or there's that loop. I'm always getting frustrated. Or there's that loop. I'm always getting lonely. or there's that loop, I'm always getting depressed, or there's that loop, I'm always getting overexcited and then depressed. So we all have our own kind of habits that we've practiced a lot. And these habits when we're not attentive to these habits, they basically are on autopilot. They run our lives. We're not so aware of what's going on with them. We're just, oh, here I am again, you know, stuck in this thing that I'm always doing over and over again. This anger, this hatred, this frustration, this loneliness, this fear, this sadness, whatever it is for you. So these patterns are often based on old conditioning, old ways that we've engaged, and they've become habitual. I mean, they have become the way that we operate in the absence of awareness, essentially. So with mindfulness, we can begin to have a choice about how we engage with these patterns. Initially, all that we can do is to just begin to be aware that they're happening. But as we begin to be aware that they're happening, we can learn more and more about how they come to be, what the conditions are that make them come to be. A very small amount of awareness around some of these patterns can be very powerful. So daily life practice is a place we really can meet these habits. We get into these kinds of situations all the time. So what I like to suggest for this, you know, if we try to engage in daily life practice by saying, you know, I'm going to be mindful all day long, you know, it's just not going to happen. So we really do need to kind of, at least what I've seen works in my own experience, is to pick some specific things. So I've offered a couple of very simple, specific kind of tools. These picking the, you know, something that happens regularly through your day in a chore. But also in this realm of working with things that, the kinds of patterns that we just really end up suffering about. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about finding things that, working with patterns that cause you the most distress in your life. Finding ways to engage with those. So rather than saying, I'm just going to try to be mindful all day long, actually picking some projects, essentially. And you can pick a particular pattern as a project, much as, you know, you might pick, you know, standing up or going through doorways as a project. You could just say, you know, every time I notice that I'm getting angry at that particular person, I'm going to be aware of that. So again, it's kind of that setting your intention towards observing a particular pattern. But not necessarily trying to say, I'm going to try to observe every time I'm running into trouble, but just picking some specific things. This, for me, this has been really, really helpful to kind of take, you know, it's like taking small bites that we can connect with. And we can also begin to get a sense of what we're learning around that particular exploration. So I like to suggest that you pick a particular pattern or habit that you're really interested in exploring, really interested in understanding in your life. The interest will support you. If you're really interested in understanding it, not to get rid of it, but really to understand it, that will be the ground out of which the mindfulness can connect with that pattern. That interest itself will support the ability to meet that pattern with mindfulness. mindfulness itself has that quality of interest. It's more, what's happening here around this pattern? Here I am, angry again. Okay, what is happening? Body's tight. Tension's happening. You know, again, meeting what is obvious whenever you notice that pattern. Now again, you know, again, this will unfold differently depending on the kind of pattern you pick. If you pick a pattern that may be kind of fleeting, you know, something that kind of comes and goes, it may unfold kind of similarly to what I described for the picking a task that happens regularly through your day, picking an activity that happens regularly through your day. You might not notice for a while, and then you'll remember back, oh yeah, I know I got caught in that a bunch of times. Just make the resolve again. I'm just going to try again. If it's a particularly sticky pattern, you may, for me, the one that I worked with, the first one I worked with like this was anger. A very sticky pattern. I wanted to notice when I was angry at a particular person. And that habit of anger was so powerful that, you know, it was not going to come and go if I wasn't mindful. It was going to come and stay if I wasn't mindful. So at some point in that escalation of the anger, the mind remembered, oh yeah, I said I was going to pay attention to this. And here I am in a rage. This is really unpleasant. That was the first thing I noticed. Oh, this is really unpleasant. What do I do with this? Oh my God. Just be willing to meet. Again, it's just like, what's obvious in that moment? What's obvious? For me, that very first time that I noticed my anger, I was in a full-blown rage. And, you know, it was very much just like, wow, I have no idea what to do with this. It's angry, yep, I'm angry. I have no idea what it even means to be mindful of this. But I'm recognizing that I'm angry, and, well, I don't know what I do. I guess I go back to work. And in retrospect, that actually was pretty powerful. Just the simple recognition of the anger, in retrospect, I see that it gave me the space to be able to go back to work. Before, I hadn't been working. I had been frozen in front of my keyboard in a rage. So actually meeting that experience with mindfulness brought in enough space that I could go back to work. Now, I didn't try to maintain mindfulness here. I actually had very little training in mindfulness when I was first trying this. But just to acknowledge, okay, yep, that's what's happening. Anger's what's happening. And I'm just going to go back to work. Over and over again, I did that kind of a practice. And what I discovered in that kind of a scenario, where it's a kind of a sticky pattern, where the habit or the pattern kind of escalates in that way, like it would with anger. What I noticed over the course of the weeks of paying attention to that pattern, I just kept observing it. I was really interested in this pattern because it was making me non-functional. So that's one reason I really point to the interest as being key. Because there was nothing I could figure out to do with this anger. But then I'd read this book. It said, why don't you try paying attention to it? And it's like, how's that going to help? I had no idea how it would help. But what I saw over the course of weeks, how it helped, was that the mindfulness began to happen. I would remember about that commitment to paying attention to that anger earlier and earlier in the cycle of anger. And so I saw that I was less angry when I woke up. It was more kind of a normal anger than a rage. So it was easier to be with it, and it was also easier to say, oh, okay, this isn't so helpful. I'm just going to, you know, put this down and go back to work. So this was incredibly powerful, even just this simple recognizing of the pattern. Just the recognizing of it and going, oh, yep, okay, I guess I just go back to work. Over and over again, gave me quite a bit of space around that anger. The other thing that happens as we pay attention to these patterns is that we begin to learn something about how our mind puts this together. And you know, we begin to see, over time, we might even begin to see how that pattern is even constructed out of a thought. A thought that we react to. A memory, and this is in my case, a memory of the person that I was angry with. There I go. If I can be present and recognize, oh, there's a thought of that person, it doesn't have to lead to the anger. It's actually quite powerful to begin to explore these your habits and patterns in this way. Each time you meet a pattern like this, it's like you get a little bit of information about that habit in your mind. You get this little tiny bit of information. Each time you look at it, it's like you're seeing it from a different perspective. You get a little bit more information. Over time, the mind begins to understand how this pattern functions. And begins, because part of the way all patterns of this nature function is that there is a contribution of our own will, in a way, our own mind contributes to this. I saw at one point, I actually wanted to get angry. You know, there was this kind of impulse, you know, it's like, oh yeah, there's a thought of that guy, and oh yeah, I really want to get angry. Having spent a lot of time exploring the suffering of anger, because that's what we do, actually, in the mindfulness. We get to see, we turn our attention towards our experience, and we get to see, how is this experienced in the mind and body? Anger feels like suffering. Anger is not a happy place to be. And when you know, seeing that over and over again, that is a little, some of the little bit of information that we get to see about these patterns. Oh yeah, this is suffering. This pattern is suffering. And then when the mind begins to see how it contributes to that pattern, when the mind begins to recognize, oh my gosh, I want to be angry? I know where that's going. That's not going to feel very good. The mind begins to let go of those patterns. It almost happens organically if we are willing to turn and explore our patterns, our habits, the ways that we suffer, if we're willing to turn to explore them. In daily life, in sitting, it really happens in both places in a very similar way. But we can do this in daily life, and it is one of the most amazing fruits of our practice that we can learn how to navigate our lives without being so whipped around by our afflictive emotions, by our habits and patterns. We can learn to see when we're heading in that direction and make a choice. One of the benefits of mindfulness in daily life, I mean, these habits and patterns often feel like they're coming out of, you know, nowhere. They're coming out of the subconscious, or, you know, it's like, how could I ever see where this pattern begins? One thing that happens as we get more and more attuned to mindfulness in our daily lives, kind of like, you know, there's this this level of what we can be aware of in our minds and in our bodies. And, you know, it starts out that we're not aware of very much, you know, we're kind of submerged and we're just kind of acting out of our habits, the ways that we've been conditioned. The more and more mindful we become, it's as if that horizon of the subconscious, it's not even as if, I think it actually does. Whatever that sense of what we can see in our minds, that horizon gets lower and lower, and we can see more and more of where these patterns are actually beginning. We can actually see the moment one of those patterns is initiated. So that this horizon of our subconscious gets much more, it's more transparent. That our minds become more transparent to us. So that we can actually start to have a choice. Choices are being made all the time in our minds. Usually our choices are made out of our habits and patterns, out of greed, out of aversion, out of delusion. That's often where our choices of how and why we do things, because it's below this level that we can see. The more mindfulness we can bring into our lives, the more we can choose at the point where we're getting ready to leap into one of these patterns. So again, with this kind of practice of looking at these habits and patterns, really helpful to keep it light, a light touch. What's obvious? What can you notice? For me, you know, it was, wow, this is painful. Anger is painful. That was actually an insight. Before I had started turning to pay attention to that anger, my whole emphasis was on how is this anger going to hurt him? I was not seeing that it was hurting me. So even just that simple willingness to say, oh, anger feels like this. This is painful. That was the beginning of the movement out of it. I'm like, we have to go through to transcend. And we like to think of transcending our difficulties by like rising above them and just, you know, floating above them. But we transcend them by really kind of just going right through the muck. The muck gets transformed. So two key pieces, I think, in terms of qualities of mind that are supportive for this kind of practice. Resolve, the sense of, I'm just going to keep trying. I'm just going to keep trying. That was key. That is key for this kind of practice, because this is practicing, bringing this practice into our daily lives is the advanced practice. You know, this is where it's really hard. So it's perfectly normal and natural that it's not easy and that we forget more than we remember. But each time you remember that you've forgotten, really reconnect with that resolve, reconnect with that intention to just keep trying, and see if you can call in the quality of patience, because it is really hard. We need to be really patient with ourselves. We're going to forget more than we remember. And this is not personal. It doesn't mean that you're not doing it right or that you can't do it. It's just the way our minds are. Our minds tend to get hooked and caught. So when you remember, keep that intention, keep trying, and be really patient. Be very patient and compassionate with yourself just about how hard this actually is. So what I'd like to do or offer at this point is to open it to questions. Are there any questions either about what I've said, how to work with this, or about specific things that you might be exploring in your daily lives that you'd like some suggestions on how you might work with that? I find often with the daily life practice, it's really helpful to talk about what you're exploring, what you're trying to engage with. That's really where a lot of the learning happens, is in kind of describing or discussing what you're looking at or how you might look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have something that's happening to me now that I don't know how to handle, and I have a very dear friend that is full of anger, bitterness, and so it's just...
Directed at you?
No.
Just in general?
In general.
Okay.
And I don't know how to... What to do to have it not affect me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I try to calm the situation or whatever, it seems to... She gets angrier,
uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
And I don't believe she realizes that.
So yeah, I mean, a lot of this, you know, when we're dealing in the world, one of the things we have to recognize is that we can't necessarily change other people. So we really need to look at how are we responding. So what is the suffering in you? Around this.
That's what happens. I get tight inside
right.
because I don't want to judge her. And so mostly I just listen,
uh-huh.
You know, listen to her vent, you know, but it's just out in public, even no patients and everything. And I get.
So there's some embarrassment, because, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I'm not embarrassed. I'm more embarrassed for her that. I don't get embarrassed with her, but uh-huh. I feel embarrassed for her in a way. But I just don't realize, I don't think she realizes how angry she is. And
so again, you've gone back to her.
Yes.
What we need to do in this practice is turn back.
Exactly.
So in that kind of a situation, I mean, you feel a tightness, you mm-hmm. feel... Part of what the exploration would be is what do you feel? I mean, you know that there's some embarrassment, you say, for her. But what are your feelings? Is it frustration? Is it exhaustion? You know, is it...
Yes.
So, you know, to acknowledge, okay, so this is how I respond in this situation. That's the first step, mm-hmm. to really just acknowledge what's happening in you, mm-hmm. not to try to fix or change her,
exactly.
but to...
No, that's what I have
right.
done. That's when I realized that I am getting very tight and that frustrated because I know that my trying to calm whatever the situation is or be the devil's advocate is never works.
Okay, so you've seen that. So this is again, right. this is kind of, you know, little bits of information you get. You've tried X... Seems to throw gas on the fire, you know. So maybe that's not a good approach at certain times. I mean, it might be that another time when she's not in the midst of one of these attacks or whatever, you know, that you might be able to have a conversation with her. But in the midst of it, it sounds like, I mean, there's different things that different people might need to do for this situation. You know, perhaps you can just simply notice, okay, yep, there's discomfort here, and can I be with that discomfort with her and just be a sounding board?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not fuel it, neither fuel it nor push it away.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly acknowledge your own discomfort.
Right.
That's
what I need to work on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really important part of this. There may come a time when you realize or recognize it's not so helpful for me to be here with her while this is happening. In which case, you may need to take some action. You know, it may not just be, oh, I need to sit here and be patient and listen to her. It may be that you need to say, I'm sorry, I need to go right now. As compassionately as you can. This practice doesn't mean not taking action, mm-hmm. but it is, first thing is to recognize what are you actually feeling, mm-hmm. and can you meet that energy in a skillful way? If you can't meet it in a skillful way, then there may be some things to do about it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many challenging situations, but. I would encourage you to make that movement towards, you know, again, it could be kind of this 50-50, you know, this is what's happening for me and knowing, and she's angry.
Right.
Yeah.
Over years, I've been getting emails from people that just set me off. And I've, you know, answered them, no, Obama's not a Marxist sort of emails. And I realize that that's attracting the emails.
That's attracting the emails?
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I just said, okay, I'm going to ignore them. But then what I do is I get in the argument.
Internally?
Internally.
Uh-huh.
And what I've been doing is sort of saying, much as if I had been meditating, I sort of say, anger.
Yes.
And it goes.
Uh-huh.
But what I hear you saying is rather than do that, sort of ride with it and say, you know, how does this make me feel?
Well, I mean, what you're saying, you know, just noticing, oh, this is anger, the obviousness of that, that's what I'm suggesting. So it doesn't have to be that you ride with it or hold on to it, actually. Just kind of that acknowledgement, okay, yep, this is anger. Yep, okay, this is anger. This is what it feels like. It can be that simple.
Because as soon as I do that, it goes away.
And that's great. I mean, that you don't have to try to hold on to something in order to observe it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like the balance you talk about between observing what's in your mind and the mindfulness itself, because that's something that I've wondered about in just doing a job like anyone else here, how to maintain awareness but still be effective in focusing on a challenge.
It's an interesting exploration. I mean, it's not obvious to us that we can do that, but we can. So yeah, exploring that. And you might, if you're interested in particularly in doing that in your work, you might pick a particular time where you have some task that you need to do that you're alone, so that you've got a little bit of space to figure out how to engage with this in a way. You know, how much attention do I need to put on what I'm doing, and how much attention can I have in my experience? So I would again, you know, try to find a way to take a small piece to begin the exploration, as opposed to saying, oh, I'm going to try to do this 50-50 mindfulness all day long, because it probably will get lost. And then you might think, well, I can't do this, and then you give it up. So I do find that having some specific things to kind of orient the daily life practice around really helpful, because it gives us the sense of a little bit of traction, you know, that we can resolve to be present for those limited things. And then over time, more and more of our day comes into this field. So, yeah, just keep playing with it. So I would like to talk about this more next week. I mean, it's a rich topic, but what I'd like to, and we'll see what happens with you guys. I mean, I'd like to spend more time with questions next week. Now, there weren't a lot of questions here, but maybe if you go off and try this week, you know, there'll be some things that come out of that. So I'd like to see what happens if we explore this a little bit more next week, and I'll have a little bit that I can talk about at the beginning to kind of seed the discussion, but I'd like to see what happens if we open it up for a discussion. How are you engaging, and is this something that is you know, how are you engaging with this in your day? So I'll see some of you next week, I hope. Thank you.